disease rather than treatment in the United States, died today. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road, in your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting at price for first or base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Allegations of a police cover-up are being thrown around in South Haven, Mississippi, after police killed a man when they went to the wrong house.
Ismael Lopez was shot dead by South Haven police late Sunday night. Police were looking, however, for Samuel Pierman, who lived across the street from Lopez. The DeSoto County District Attorney said on Monday that police may have been at the wrong house, but that a man pointed a gun at officers through an open door and was repeatedly warned to put the gun down before an officer shot him. On Wednesday, an attorney for the Lopez family said the door was not open and showed pictures of the bullet holes in Lopez's door. He said investigators concluded the door was closed when three shots were fired through it.
The head of Amazon is now back to being number two. Jeff Bezos, no longer the world's richest person. Bezos briefly passed Bill Gates for the top spot on the list of billionaires until Amazon stock took a 2% hit in after-hours trading. The loss dropped Bezos back behind Microsoft founder Bill Gates with a personal fortune of nearly $91 billion. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
HBO admitting they made a mistake when they rolled out information about an upcoming TV series called Confederate.
The series from the creators behind the wildly successful Game of Thrones is set in a world where the South successfully broke away from the Union in the Civil War and slavery still exists. Lois told reporters on Wednesday that while the network knew the show would be controversial, they now realize people upset with the premise don't have the benefit of context. If he could do it again, Lois said he would have the producers come out and talk directly to the press instead of sending out a release. Boy says he has faith in the talent of the creators and it won't be a Gone with the Wind 2017. The show is likely to debut either next year or in 2019.
White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci drawing a critical eye from many after some comments that he made to a reporter.
In a profanity-laced interview with The New Yorker Wednesday, Scaramucci called Chief of Staff Reince Priebus a paranoid schizophrenic, and he questioned Steve Bannon's loyalty. Earlier, Scaramucci threatened to fire everybody on the communications team to stop media leaks. Scaramucci explained in a tweet Thursday that he sometimes uses colorful language. He added that he won't give up the fight for the president's agenda.
A surprise announcement today from the Food and Drug Administration. They want to reduce the amount of nicotine in cigarettes to non-addictive levels. FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb told reporters that the move puts a target on tobacco-related deaths. He said there are 480,000 deaths a year from tobacco and hundreds of billion dollars in medical costs. He says the goal is to help lower health care costs for all Americans. USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Don't fear technology. use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, we're here with the sports guys after we tell you about the weather. And the sports guys today are Bill Wolfson and me, Pat Smits. John is going to a wedding today. So, I think it's in Connecticut. It was in Boston, he'd find some way to go to a baseball game. And I don't think he's going to be close to any place where he's going to get to a baseball game. But before we do that, Bill,
let's hear about this terrible weather.
Pat. Yeah, let's hear about it tonight. It's really a shame because, you know, this is the weekend of the Balloon Festival.
That's right.
And tonight probably should be okay. You came in. It wasn't raining. So if you go to the Balloon Festival tonight, it probably will be fine. Tomorrow, late tonight, there's about a 70% chance of heavy rain. And first of all, tomorrow there'll be showers likely, and then a 70% chance of at least showers, if not thunderstorms. And, of course, Saturday night, again, a chance of showers. By Sunday, get up there, get out. I think the balloons go up about 6:30 in the morning. Should be partly sunny, and that will be a nice day. And, again, on Monday would be partly sunny. But you know, it should be a good day on Sunday to watch the balloons, both at 6:30 in the morning and 6:30 at night. And if you're going down to your boat, Bill, I guess you're going to go down on Sunday. You going down this weekend?
Well, I'm hoping to get down there Sunday because tomorrow we're going to see 24-mile-an-hour winds and then some with gusts up to 30. And I hear we're promised at least 2 inches of rain, plus it's going to be muggy. If I get down there on Sunday, I'm going to be doing maintenance and repair work.
So you work all week, and then you have this great boat, and you end up doing maintenance and repair work all weekend.
Well, unfortunately, it's a little bit like having another house, but with a chance of sinking and drowning in it. The pleasure of owning a sailboat can be very fleeting.
Well, they say that the two happiest days of a boat owner's life is the day he bought the boat and the day he sells the boat.
No, that's not exactly true. I've bought boats and sold boats. Buying them is a lot happier than selling them. Selling them is a little sad, unless, of course, you're trading up to a bigger one.
Well, but that doesn't really count because you've continued to buy boats.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but you know, you can only really own one at a time. I guess it's like monogamy.
Yeah, well, no, we won't go there. So what's happening in sports? At this point, I think I may have said something. We have tickets for the Sunday game. I think it's December 2nd, which I definitely can't go to. So
you're
if anybody
about the Green Bay hosting Tampa game?
Tampa game. So if there's anybody out there who wants to buy some Tampa Bay Green Bay tickets and sit in Lambeau on December, it's either 2nd or 3rd, give me a call, and I'm going to be looking for some other tickets earlier in the season.
Well, you know, Green Bay is playing Philadelphia in a preseason game, I think, in the end of August. So perhaps that's a chance to see the Packers and the Eagles in Philadelphia. But, you know, as W.C. Fields would say, I'd rather be here than in Philadelphia. I think that's on his headstone.
Do you know how early that game is?
I don't.
It is. It's unbelievable. It is
like
August,
weeks, isn't it?
August 10th, believe it or not. It's on a Thursday night, August 10th. So, you know, actually that probably is pretty easy. Should be pretty easy to get tickets to.
Oh, I would think it would. The real question is, do you want a late night coming back here? Because remember, you know, you're still paying full season prices.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah, for preseason games. I think you pay the same ticket price you pay anywhere. But I'm sure
I think you should check that.
StubHub or one of those places close to the night of the game, you'd probably pick up a seat pretty cheaply.
Yeah, well, and I think sometimes season ticket holders want to get rid of some of those, you know, preseason games.
Oh, that's absolutely true. You know, for the preseason games, nobody really cares. And the Eagles are hopefully have a good season this year, but nobody really knows who's playing, whether Carson Wentz will play. You know, Nick Foles is back as the Eagles' backup quarterback this year.
Yeah, but Wentz will probably play part of the first quarter. Rodgers will get out there and play part of the first quarter. I guess the question from the Packers' standpoint is how many of the players will they bring? I know that real Packer fans, you know what's available for the diehard Packer fans already? You can join the Packers on a legend cruise.
Really?
In other words,
you
get to go either. Apparently, there's going to be a cruise, and I can't imagine why it would go to Fort Lauderdale. Maybe that's where it starts. It says Fort Lauderdale, Costa Maya, and Cozumel.
Gee, that's surprising. I thought basically if you were going to go on a Packers cruise, you'd go someplace like Duluth or Thunder Bay.
No. And it's March 10th to 15th in 2018, and you can book it now. It's already over 50% sold out.
Well,
I mean, Packer fans will do anything.
All over the place. The place must be just teeming with Green Bay Packer fans.
Well, and they're promising 20 current and alumni Packers. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to see Aaron Rodgers, and you know sometimes that can be a real disappointment. But I have to tell you, for me, it would be kind of interesting to go on a cruise with all Packer fans. So who knows? Who knows?
See, Pat, and if you have enough to drink, you might even see Vince Lombardi.
It's probably going to go out of Fort Lauderdale and then go to Costa Maya and Cozumel. I just saw this today, so I haven't had a chance to follow up on it.
Well, you know, there's interesting news out of the NFL and also out of Boston University. Traumatic encephalopathy or brain injury has been found in 110 of 111 donated brains.
I've seen that.
That's a pretty sad thing because nearly every former NFL player whose brain was donated to scientists at Boston University for research had the degenerative disease believed to be caused by repeated head trauma, according to the study that released on Tuesday.
Can you imagine only one out of 111 players did not have the problem? Now, it was also prevalent in high school players and college players. Part of that study. But one of the things that I suppose there's some question, especially with the high school and college players, whether or not whether their brain was donated because they were concerned about this. But
That's exactly what I think. And the strange thing is that this is a disease that can only be diagnosed after someone's passed away. There are many symptoms that it's been linked to, including memory loss, confusion, depression, dementia, and a problem can arise years after the blows to the head have stopped.
And one of the things that sometimes, I think the other thing that is anger problems, and yet some people will say, well, are they just angry because, you know, they played in a sport where, you know, they had to be tough, they had to be strong, and some of the best players were some of those that we would say were the angriest players. But it's a real concern, and I know that there are many people now who aren't allowing their children to play football. So it's to say the least, it's very difficult.
It's a disconcerting thing because here's a sport that many, many people love to play and many people love to, and even more people love to watch. And when you have these kinds of problems, Pat, you really have to rethink whether you want to play this game or not. There was recently a Baltimore Raven who decided that after 4 years as a Raven defensive tackle, he wanted to go back to MIT and get his PhD in mathematics rather than continuing to play football. I forget the guy's name, but it was in the papers the other day.
Did he stop playing?
He stopped playing. He stopped playing. He decided that he was not going to report to training camp this year with the Ravens after having three or four good years with them. He's going to pursue a doctorate in mathematics at MIT, so I guess his brain must be functioning very well. But
well, I think that had to be a great dilemma for somebody who loved football, obviously, was very good at it, and yet, you know, would have been tragic if he did have some kind of a brain injury that would have affected his ability to deal with complex mathematics, because, you know, not the usual joke and get a PhD in mathematics. I think most of us would be in awe of anyone who does. Reminds me kind of that, remember that, you know, we're going off track, but remember the film Good Will Hunting?
I don't think I've ever seen
that. Oh, really? Oh, if you haven't, it's one of my favorite Robin Williams movies. And but it has to do with this young man, in a Southie from Boston, who is a, you know, mathematical genius. So anyway, it just reminded me of that.
Well, what was interesting about the this article that was in the New York Times on Wednesday, was the NFL has finally had their chief health officer acknowledge that there's a link between football and chronic traumatic encephalopathy. So the NFL is now setting aside many millions of dollars to support independent medical research. I don't know what's going to happen, but a lot of these retired players are suffering from things like dementia, ALS, and Parkinson's disease. And the NFL has already agreed to donate up to $5 million per player for any retired player. There apparently was a lawsuit, with it was a class action.
Oh, there was. Lawsuit. Oh, there was a definite class action. In fact, one of the players, and I don't remember who, but I was talking about that on the law program, his family opted out, and they want to go to state court. So they obviously think they have a much better case. Now, most of these cases in that case probably wouldn't have gotten as far as it did if it had not been a class action, because the expense of trying to prove, you know, difficult proof, obviously, in individual cases.
That's true. The real problem, though, with head injuries is they can be very subtle. It can take a while for them to come and become apparent. And sometimes you don't know about it until years after somebody stopped playing and the injuries have stopped.
Well, it's like anything else.
The generation continues.
Look at Muhammad Ali.
Oh, sure.
And I think that, I don't think that there's anything other than a consensus that, in fact, his Parkinson's was related to, you know, the head injuries.
That's right. And very often you hear people saying, well, we should ban boxing or some of these other sports because people are so grievously injured later in life. And I don't know the right answer to that. I enjoyed contact sports. I enjoyed playing them as a young man. I note that for many, many athletes who stop playing, one of the things that they miss is the physicality of dealing out the good hit or the good tackle or the good body check. And in boxing, obviously you're punching. Your gloves are padded. You're also wearing a helmet that's padded, but you're still punching. And, you know, the body can only take so many blows, and then something has to give. I mean, the human body is an amazingly recuperative thing, but you still have those problems. For anyone who's ever had a sports-related injury, either from too much use or from a collision or something, you know that it's no longer a badge of honor. It's now a problem that has to be addressed and dealt with. And that's why sports medicine has become such a, I'll call it, booming field these days. I recently had a diagnosis of a inflamed Achilles tendon or Achilles tendonitis, and it was basically overwork and overexercise, using a treadmill and elliptical machine, and also a lot of running that I was doing. And
that's just
surprised.
Because you're old.
Well, that's
but
true.
No, but you're absolutely right. But what I'm seeing Recently, I was taking a friend to physical therapy, and you would think that most of the people in physical therapy were older, but on the contrary, there were a lot of young people who were obviously involved in sports who were in dealing with some of their injuries. And, you know, one of the things that we need to do, of course, is take a short break, and we'll be back after we have some information about some of our sponsors. So please stay tuned.
Good idea.
And hi, John, wherever you are. We'll look forward to John Manfreda next week. But right now, you're putting up with Bill and Pat.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pamby's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pamby's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pamby's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
By the way, if you haven't been to Pamby's, I'm telling you, you're really missing out. So we'll give you one more spot. But that's my favorite, you know, forget the diets. Pamby's is my favorite commercial and my favorite place, one of my favorite places to go for great ice cream.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, we're back, and Bill, I understand that training camp has just started, but what's amazing to me is the Packers and Eagles' first game, August 10th. I mean, that's, you know, that's like, what, a little more than 3 weeks away.
That's exactly right. In Philadelphia, I think it's an 8:30 game, is that right?
Well, in Green Bay, it's 7 o'clock, so I guess it would mean it's an 8 o'clock game here.
Okay, well, you know, it's going to be an interesting football season in Philadelphia. Last year, the Eagles did not have a particularly successful season any more than the New York Jets did. So what we're going to have to worry about is just how are things going to shake out. Meanwhile, the Yankees won again last night, 9-5, and it was strange. It was a comeback behind win. Brett Gardner hit a home run to complete a very weird Yankees comeback last night. He hit a game-winning home run to bring the Yankees within a half game of the AL leading Red Sox. Gardner, leading off the 11th inning, drove an Andrew Kittredge pitch into the right field seat to lift the Yankees to a 6-5 win over the Tampa Bay Rays. And, you know, there were 44,000 people in the seats when that happened. Gardner had a leadoff triple in the ninth against Rays closer Alex Colon that led to the Yankees tying the score on Gary Sanchez's two-out ground single to left. Sanchez's hit got through the infield because the shortstop, Hechavarria, and second baseman Tim Beckham were each on the left side of second base playing the shift, and they hesitated to go after the ball. So the Yankees caught a break on what I think was a botched infield play. Then Aroldis Chapman, who's 3-3-1, worked his first two-inning stint of the season, struck out four of the six batters that he faced, and then Brett Gardner clobbered a 1-1 pitch for the game winner. It was pretty exciting, you know, to hit a game-winning home run. It was the 18th of the year for Gardner. Yanks are 15-0 when he homers, so he's hit 18 home runs, and he's starting to get busy. The Yankees are starting to heat up again with the Red Sox idle. The Yankees have won 6 out of 7 and 4 straight, so even though they were 4.5 games out of it on July 14th, they seem to have woken up and have started to put on a good vibe. Todd Frazier, a new Yankee acquisition, drove in a run in the second inning because the Yanks had built a 2-0 lead that moved to 3-0 when Sanchez had hit that home run. They're getting contribution from everybody. Gary Sanchez, batting from the right side of the plate, hit a long home run. Matt Holliday pinch hit and forced a run in on a force out so the Yankees had to cut their deficit to 5-4. There was a scoreless 10th, and Yankees ended up leaving an awful lot of guys on base, but they won in the clutch. So now we have tonight the Yankees again facing Tampa. I think tonight we have Tanaka going for the Yankees, and he's been up and down all season with how effectively he's pitched. So we're going to I'm going to be going home soon and watching some baseball. Pat, how about you?
Well, I'm not that interested in baseball, and I'm waiting for, you know, my Packers. And the one nice thing is that the even that game, I'm assuming that the game in Philadelphia on August 10th will be broadcast.
Well, will it?
I can't imagine that it won't.
I can see it being broadcast on one of the Philly stations.
Right.
So you'll probably see it on what we call Channel 16 or Channel 57, because usually that's not going to be picked up by a network.
It'll be picked up by a network, but I think it'll be picked up by one of the sports, There's so many sports networks now. The other thing that's going to be interesting, and maybe you can clarify, they have to get down to the roster 53 players by the end of August.
That's right.
Right? But there's talk that the Packers could have 56 because there are going to be a few people who are suspended for the first few games.
Why are they being suspended?
Various things. But my question is, if players are suspended, for example, when Brady was suspended, did that enable the Patriots to have someone else on the roster
until he came back? I think it did.
I do too.
I know that in hockey, if a player is suspended for a couple of games, they call another guy up.
Well, and what it means is that it's not looking good for some of the rookies this year, even. Certainly not for the undrafted rookies, and even for some of the guys who were drafted. I mean, obviously, if they were drafted in the early rounds, they're going to try to keep these guys, even if they're on a practice team. And again, I've forgotten, is there any limit to the number of guys on the practice team? Do you recall?
I don't recall. I don't know the answer to that question, Pat.
Because if there wasn't, it would seem to me as, you know, since they pay them so little, or I think they don't pay them much, from my understanding, they don't pay the practice team that much, it would make sense for them to you know, keep as many on as possible.
Well, most definitely it would. Remember, pack practice squads are exactly that. I don't think it matters how many guys you have on the squad. They're only being paid a couple of $1,000. They are hoping to get the big break and get into playing in the NFL. But still, they're walking through the plays. They're providing the competition and practices. They are learning the routes so they can be ready to go in the event somebody has to sit down or is injured so they can be moved on to the team. The other thing, too, is being on the practice squad doesn't always guarantee you that you're going to see a position on the team or actually get into a game, because very often players get cut by one team, just like a recent Dallas Cowboy got cut because somebody thought he had been involved in shoplifting when it turned out that he wasn't. But the agents are usually pretty good at finding another team to pick them up, because there's always going to be a need for more football players.
Well,
I have personally thought that the NFL roster should be 57 active players rather than 53, given, you know, the additional game in the season, 18 games as opposed to 16.
You're taking my argument away. And, yeah. You know, I've argued this for probably as long as I've been on this radio program and even before that, because I think the other thing is – they might more easily, if they had a larger roster, be able to rotate more guys in and out. And, you know, especially the defense. I mean, these guys are in. They're tough. I know no one wants to get out. I mean, you can't drag Clay Matthews off the field. But, you know, these guys probably should have more breaks during the game than they actually have.
That may very well be, but I know that the way a lot of teams win is to wear a defense down and keep them on the field for as long as possible. Well, football's always had unlimited substitutions as long as guys reported into the ref. Whereas with baseball, you know, once you're out, you're not playing anymore for that game.
Right. Well, I mean, there's an argument. There are a lot of injuries in baseball also, but I think that the way they play football, they really need more time. Although, you know, frankly, one of the things when you go to see the games and with all the commercials, one of the things that's frustrating when you're actually at the game is how much time they have to stand around on the field, especially if it's a cold day. I mean, I don't know how these guys, you know, keep warm and, you know, if it's really out there, it's below freezing, and they have to stand around waiting for, you know, 3 minutes while the TVs are playing the commercials. Recognize it when you're at a game.
Oh, it certainly does, whether it's a football game or any other sport. I'm convinced that the big glass eye of television and television money is just too powerful in sport. But that's why players can get paid $100 million. That's why we are paying $10 for a hot dog and $15 for a beer in a professional stadium. I'm convinced that with the change in the way content is delivered to us, home viewers, whether through the internet, through cable TV, I think the cable industry is due for a retrenching, and probably with that also many, many of these sports teams and sports leagues, because the money's just not going to be there. If you can see the Packer game over the internet and not have to pay for it or pay a whole lot less for it, why subscribe to a cable TV channel?
Well, and of course, the only reason we have satellite television is to get the NFL. And right now, you know, people pay a lot if they're subscribing to the, you know, NFL package. Now, granted, we can see any games, but, you know, we only do it so we can see the Packer games.
You know, it's interesting. One of the problems with subscribing to the package for either the NHL, Major League Baseball, football, or basketball is that you are stuck with announcers you may not like. And I was watching a football game at a friend's house last fall on a Thursday night. And he took and turned the sound down on the TV and put the game on the radio.
A lot of people will do that you know, in, that are watching the Packers. But you're stuck anyway. It's the same person. You know, the fact that you have the package, you're still stuck with whoever happens to be, you know, announcing those games. And you're right. I mean, there some of those announcers I really don't care for. Now, out here, you know, we're not going to be able to get the local radio station, but there's no question that there are a lot of Packer fans, and I'm sure fans other places, that they're listening to the radio while they're watching the game because they'd rather have whoever is announcing on the radio. They think that person is much better than the announcers at on television. And sometimes these guys on television, you know, you just want them to shut up. You know, it's such minutia. The fact that they're on television and you're watching television, it's not like radio. You don't need a lot of dead time. I mean, you don't care about dead time because you have something to watch, where a lot of these guys just think that they have to be spouting every second.
Well, you know,
like we do.
It's almost as if they have to have a pathological need to talk constantly. Now, I don't really understand why. I mean, on radio, you want to avoid dead air. Nobody likes that. It means that nothing's happening. The listeners are getting ready to change to another network or another station. But on television, you're seeing the game. There's a lot of the way sports are presented that's visually exciting. You know, the colors, the field, the action, the people in the stands, the people on the sidelines. I often think every game has at least one or two good storylines that if you pick up on them, you don't really need the announcers as much as if you're really paying attention. For example, you have the age-old battle between defensive and offensive linemen or between tight ends and safeties or defensive backs or defensive ends. And how are they going to challenge one another? That's often a storyline in and of itself. Who's going to beat who? In watching the Giants and watching a guy like Odell Beckham, who's a very talented guy, you know, has his issues but is still, you know, fun to watch. How he manages to stutter step and fool the guys who are covering him, and how many different ways he's able to fool them into moving the wrong way so he can get that extra step or two on the ball. I'm convinced that those are the interesting kinds of storylines, those individual matchups. And I think we lose a lot when we have announcers that aren't really all that well-versed in the game, or they're not interested in the game, or they're not focused enough on the game, or they haven't done their prep for the game to know what those challenges will be between these two teams or between two players who oppose each other. In boxing, you always seem to have a lot of people who understand that there are that it is a conflict, it is a fight, and the fighters challenge each other, usually at the press conference. It's also part of the weigh-in. It usually occurs a couple of weeks before the match or a couple of days before the match. Whereas in football, you get a whole week of trash talking, and then some. And I'm not even going to go there with basketball. I don't follow basketball, but you see more and more of that all the time.
Yeah, I think they're just usually, though, a few players that are like that. I mean, they may talk trash on the field, but you don't see as... Actually, I see a lot of what I would consider fairly intelligent interviews with some of the players. And it takes them a while before they're able... You know, it's interesting to watch somebody their rookie year when they're first being interviewed because they probably haven't been. Maybe a little bit in college, but most of them haven't been. But then as they go on, some of them are really very good. In fact, that's one of the reasons I think that they're able to become sports announcers, and so many of them are sports announcers. They know the game. They follow the game. They follow not only their old team, but everybody else's team. And if they're at all articulate, I think they're probably squeezing almost everyone else out of sports broadcasting.
That could very well be. You also have sports announcers that just seem colorless and humorless. They're not terribly interesting people. Maybe they've been good athletes. Maybe they're very knowledgeable about the game, but it just doesn't get communicated in a way that I enjoy.
Do you think they stay around very long?
No. You might have noticed ESPN, which for years, 20 years, 25 years, was the giant in sports and owned by Disney, just let go almost 1,000 of the people and 400 or 500 of what's called talent. Now, really? I always thought ESPN was a little frustrating because they would not show some of the more, some of the different sports that not everybody likes. You never saw hockey on ESPN. You never saw skiing on ESPN. You would see that years and years ago on ABC's Wide World of Sports, or even sailboat racing you would not see on ESPN, unless maybe it was in the Olympics or something like that, or an Olympic trial. But there's a lot of sports out there that are fascinating to watch, even if it's something like ski jumping or cross-country skiing, speed skating, competitive ice skating, some of the most graceful, physically beautiful people are figure skaters, and you very rarely see that.
Well, I think it depends. Maybe we have, every channel in the Western Hemisphere, but, when there are skating competitions, we certainly get them, and as you know, one of my favorite sports is on, and I get to see that from time to time on television, which is, of course, bull riding.
Mm-hmm.
And
sounds like a lot of bull to me.
Actually, that is, in my mind, probably, I can't think of too many sports that would be, or any sports that would be more dangerous than bull riding. And, these guys, they really take risks, and of course, if you've ever watched it, you see that, there are clowns out there. I mean, these guys are terrific. They're the ones who are, making sure that the rider gets picked up before, the bull gores them.
Well, on games like that, I think I'd start rooting for the bull.
No. No, you don't.
Does anybody root for the bull?
I mean, these are ferocious bulls. They are trained to be ferocious.
Well, bulls are usually 1,500 to 2,000 pounds and then up.
Oh, and these are not only, these are not the bulls you used to see down in the small arenas down in Mexico, believe me. Where you might want to root for the bull then.
These are the rip snorting.
Oh, they are. They're absolutely raised. I mean, the people that raise these bulls are, making a lot of money because the bulls ride the circuit just like the riders.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, yeah. They'll talk about a bull, and explain to you what the, what they can expect from this bull, and the riders, just like other people study, football players study films, well, the bull riders study, how these bulls have reacted in other events. So they try to get as much information as possible to see, what is their best chance of staying on for the count in the bull riding.
Well, how long do they have to stay on, Pat?
Now, I'm having a bad day, but as I recall, it's 8 seconds.
That's it, 8 seconds. Wow, that's fast.
If you're on the back of a bull, that's a long time.
I always wondered why the bull just didn't lay down and roll over and crush the guy on his back.
Well, that has happened at sometimes, but they, bulls don't like to lie down any more than racehorses like to lie down. I mean, they would rather get this little, remember, they probably think that this is just a little piss ant that they're trying to get off their back.
Yeah. Well, how would they even know the guy was on their back, other than he might be kicking the bull or something like that?
No. They know. And that's why you see them as soon as they go down on the bull. They don't necessarily go out that chute, but as soon as they open the doors to that chute, you know, that bull is really, you know, bucking and taking off. And in fact, sometimes they do it in the chute. I mean, that's the real, you know, concern if a rider can get injured before he ever gets out of the chute.
Well, because he could get thrown off while in the chute.
Well, and you can get, you know, your legs, you can get your legs pounded up against the sides of the chute.
Well, that doesn't sound like a really fun sport at all, from what I can tell.
You know,
what attracts you to that sport? This is interesting.
I don't know. Probably because I grew up around horses, and I used to have a horse that would not let anybody ride him bareback, and so that's what we did. And you know, we did wasn't bucking bulls, but it was a bucking horse, and how long you could stay on that horse.
Well, I remember being 10 years old and playing in a friend's father's field where cattle were grazing and being chased by the bull out of the field. And, you know, it's a little bit like being chased by a car that wants to run you down. It wasn't fun.
You were probably pretty foolish going in a field with a bull.
Well, that's true. But, you know, my friend was often told by his father that to give his prize bull a bucket of beer once a week, because it was a veterinarian considered it would be healthy. And on the bull always seemed to know when it was Saturday and it was time for his bucket of suds.
Let's see if we have any of our sponsors who are going to tell us to drink suds. I don't think so, but we'll be back very shortly.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off a Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh, yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Well, Bill, we're back. And one of the questions I have is, I would hope, I'd like to see Wentz and Aaron Rodgers play, and I hope they do both play for a while, because it will be interesting to see. I think Wentz could be a franchise quarterback, and I think he could be, someone that will really like to watch in 4 or 5 years. But it'll be interesting to see that matchup.
Oh, it certainly will be. I think Carson Wentz and Aaron Rodgers will be a matchup we're going to see over and over again. Is that what you're talking about?
Right. Well, I mean, I hope they play for more than just, 4 or 5 plays when they play on August 10th, because I'd like to see that. So who is going to be, and I'm hoping that Jordy Nelson really can come back this year, because we certainly need Jordy as, wide receiver and, back to, full speed and no injuries.
Well, before we talk about that, let's talk about the team that always manages to put the fun in dysfunctional, the New York Jets.
I was talking to a judge the other day.
A judge?
A judge who is a Jet fan. Oh. And, I couldn't help myself, but I had to say condolences.
Might not win a game this year after being, 6-10 last year, or 5-11. I forget exactly what their record was. But, Brandon Marshall, a former New York Jet, said there's no way the Jets are winning anything this year. Matt Ford, who played with him in Chicago, said he's not here. He hasn't been here the whole offseason. He doesn't know what chance we have or anything. That's Brandon speaking. I'm Brandon. That's all I have to say. So Marshall, who was asked about the Jets, who have gotten rid of many high-priced veterans this offseason, have begun a rebuild, said, I knew I just couldn't be in that environment, Marshall said. I think anyone who knows the type of personality I am at this point in my career, I just wouldn't have made it through the entire season knowing that we didn't have a chance. That's what you want as a player. You just want a chance. I'm not sure what he means by a chance. I assume it means a chance to make the playoffs. I think the Jets finished last in the AFC East this year.
And I have to tell you, even though these are professional athletes, I think they have a lot of pride. They all want to play for the top teams. I mean, let's face it. I think that there are more than one who would trade some salary to get on a good team. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why Reggie White went to Green Bay, because
no question about that.
He really had felt that he would have a chance to get to a Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, and so he did he not?
Yeah, he certainly did.
Because remember, the Eagles are one of the few teams that, although they've been to a couple of Super Bowls, they've never won one. I think Carson Wentz is probably one of their best shots at getting there, but I think they're 2 or 3 years away, even with a good quarterback and some decent receivers. But Wentz doesn't really have a lot of great guys to throw to. I mean, I like Zach Ertz. I like Brent Celek. But after that, the Eagles start to get a little thin around the ball-catching core.
And that's so important. I mean, that was one of the things a few years ago when Aaron Rodgers had, 4 or 5 guys that, he could throw to. So whoever happened to be open, or even when they weren't open, whoever happened to look like he could, slide one in, he really had a good group of people. I think they let some of the Packers go too quickly. But then, I'm not the huge fan of McCarthy, so I guess I'd, he's done a great job. I can't say that he hasn't done a good job. I shouldn't say great. He's done a good job with the Packers. But I think he had a lot of talent to work with.
Well, remember, he has players that make him look good.
Exactly.
And whereas, if you're the coach of the Jets, Todd Bowles has his work cut out for him. I'm not that crazy about Todd Bowles as a coach, but on the other hand, I think he's doing the best he can with what he's got.
But why is it that, some teams, like the Patriots, always seem to be able to put together a top-notch team, and then in the same league, the Jets seem to be struggling more often than not?
Well, I think success breeds success, especially in the NFL. good players want to play with good players. They want to play with teams with winning records.
Yeah, but the Jets will get, you know, the first picks, the, you know, get some of the best picks. And why aren't they, you know, turning that into success when they, you know, the worst teams get the best picks in the draft?
Right. But the problem with the Jets, I've always thought, has been culture. When Woody Johnson bought them, I thought the culture would change. But I think as an owner, he's clueless. The Jets had a couple of years where they teased everybody with Bill Rex Ryan and with Mark Sanchez having a couple of good seasons. And, you know, they do have some good players. The problem, though, with the Jets is once you get past the starting front line and once you get past the quarterback and the receiving core, it gets pretty skimpy. I can't think of a last time a Jet running back had a 1,000-yard season. Can you?
Nope, I can't. But then look at, and what do you think about the Cowboys? Do you think they're going to be as strong as I thought they would be at the end of last year?
I think the Cowboys are going to get a little brown around the edges, Pat. I think that the way that Dallas has postured itself this year, I think we're going to see a fall-off year from what looked like a really exciting year for their quarterback.
Why?
I just think they're going to be a sophomore jinx. I think the Giants are better. I think the Eagles are better. I think the Redskins are a better team also. Dallas, I think, still has a window of opportunity that's open, but that window of opportunity, I think, is this season and next season.
But they have not. Who did they lose from last year? I mean, they really haven't lost any significant players, have they?
No. But on the other hand, they've all gotten a little older. I think that the cowboy mystique, if you want to call it that, is gone. I think Dallas has trouble attracting really good players. I'm not really a Jerry Jones fan.
I'm not either. But
they do play in a nice stadium, I have to say that.
I haven't been to the new stadium. But you know, I just I think if Dak Prescott does what, you know, he was really good last year. I mean, for coming in the way he came in, granted he had some good people around him, but he seemed to me that he learned that game quickly, and you know, they weren't winning in spite of him.
Well, I think that Dallas has a good quarterback. They've got an exciting player in Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
But it falls off pretty quick after that, Pat. I don't see Dallas.
Witten is still good.
More than a 4 or 5 star team.
I wouldn't be surprised if they had. Last year the only games they lost were to the Giants. So. Anyway, I guess we better wrap up, and hopefully we'll be back next week with more energy, because I know we're both exhausted, and hopefully John will be back, because John is a bundle of energy, no matter if he's falling asleep.
That's true. I don't know how John cranks it up, but he does.
So, any event, we'll...
Folks, it's going to be a soggy weekend, so if you're going to get up off that couch, you might want to think about doing something indoors.
At least tomorrow, and then go to the Balloon Festival on Sunday.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.